KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
8 o'clock, we have sunny skies, and it's 66 degrees here in Atlantic. We look forward to being partly to mostly sunny today, a high of 86. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen of the Check of Area and State News. Red Oak police are investigating two hit-and-run property damage incidents that were reported Friday. The owner of a 2014 Ford XPL SUV reported to police that their legally parked vehicle was struck as it was parked in the 600 block of East Elm Street in Red Oak while the owner was away on vacation. The SUV was sideswiped by an unknown white vehicle, causing about $2,500 damage. And a 2010 Ford Fusion owner told police he parked his vehicle on the east side of North 3rd Street Friday evening and went inside his residence. When he came out a few hours later, he noticed a dent in the passenger side door and what appeared to be white paint on the door. There was also a residue of rubber, possibly from the tire or bumper of the other unknown vehicle. The damage was estimated at $1,500. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says it will more than double the amount of water released into the Missouri River from the river's lowermost dam over the coming weeks. Releases from the Gavin's Point Dam between Nebraska and South Dakota were reduced to 24,000 cubic feet per second in mid-June from high flows downstream of the Missouri River reservoir system. The Corps said in a news release on Friday that Gavin's Point releases will be stepped up over the next several days, reaching about 50,000 cubic feet per second by early to mid-July as downstream flows drop off. The Corps says all releases from the Missouri River Reservoir System dams will be maintained at a higher-than-average rate over the next several months. The announcement came as the river at Omaha crested at nearly 29 feet due to heavy recent rains, causing minor flooding of low-lying areas, mostly on the Iowa side of the river. Levels downriver, including in Kansas and Missouri, will also be affected. Officers in central Iowa say it's too soon to estimate the damage from this weekend's flash flooding or say for sure how many homes and businesses were damaged or destroyed.
This early, where we still have floodwaters, the height of that they are, over time they will reveal damages that we are unable to see right now.
That's A.J. Mum, director of Polk County Emergency Management. He says hundreds have been displaced.
Obviously a historic event in terms of sheer rainfall.
He says fires, explosions, and rescues of all types occurred. The National Weather Service issued a rare emergency flash flood alert to cell phones in Polk County on Saturday. Kelsey Angle is the warning coordinator meteorologist of the National Weather Service office in Johnston. He says the catastrophic flooding was caused by between 3 and 8 inches of rain falling in central and northern Polk County in a very short amount of time.
The good news is that the heavy rain threat has ended across central Iowa. We'll continue to see waters slowly recede as we head on into next week. So as response and recovery efforts continue, dry weather is expected.
A few temporary shelters were set up Saturday evening. Polk County Supervisor Angela Connolly said they aim to have a one-stop shop established by early this afternoon to help flood victims with housing assistance as well as any physical and mental health needs.
We have a lot of people that have been displaced from their homes throughout the community, whether it's Urbandale, West Des Moines, Clive, folks at Fairgrounds.
Des Moines Mayor Frank County says flood prevention and preparation measures that were undertaken after the previous floods in 1993, 2008, and 2010 have helped, but this was record flooding.
It's a little scary. Those high water marks, on the east side and the west side of our metro area were exceeded in one downpour.
Police and fire department officials say it's difficult to say how many people had to be rescued from rising floodwaters in their homes and vehicles. As we mentioned, and you've probably heard, a well-known radio personality died after his van stalled in flash flooding. 66-year-old Larry Kotler was the voice of the Drake men's basketball team. Residents of Des Moines are cleaning up now after the deadly floods destroyed homes and submerged cars, and more damage could be revealed as the floodwaters recede. Heavy rains over the weekend forced the evacuation of numerous homes and businesses in Des Moines and the surrounding suburbs. Areas near Four Mile Creek in Des Moines and Walnut Creek in Clive were especially hard hit. Water rushed into ground floor apartments and parts of Des Moines, ruining belongings. 58-year-old Ellen James says she lost everything and had to stay in a shelter set by Sunday night. In Clive, dozens of businesses and homes were also ravaged by flood water. And while warmer average temperatures can have a dramatic impact in colder climates, new research shows how much crop growth can be affected when temperatures change by just a few degrees Celsius. For Iowa, one crop that would be affected the most is corn. The research, headed by Michelle Tigelar at the University of Washington, shows that an increase in average temperature of 2 to 4 degrees Celsius would decrease crop yields by at least 18% across the United States. Tigshilar said that range of the temperature increase will be a large determinant of the scale of crop failures.
So with 2 degrees of warming, the effects are severe but somewhat manageable. But with 4 degrees of warming, it becomes really sort of something that we haven't quite seen before.
In Fahrenheit, those temperature differences are from 3.6 to 7.2 degrees warmer. The study looked at crop yields effects around the globe, including countries such as China and Brazil, observing weather patterns and corn yields. An 18% decrease in crop yields would mean an Iowa farmer expecting 175% of bushels of corn per acre would bring in only about 144. And that would have a large impact on other products such as corn syrup and meat. Environmentally friendly structural changes and crop adaptation to higher temperatures are all possibilities for limiting the damage of a warmer climate. But for farmers, Tigshilar says environmental changes are just some of the ongoing obstacles.
They deal with changes in their environment regularly. So to some degree, you can adapt your farming practices by planting on different dates or planting a slightly different variety.
And some scientists expect the development of biotechnology and farm management to allow corn to grow as normal despite climate changes. Iowans who plan to travel somewhere for the 4th of July holiday are reminded to keep their focus entirely on the task of driving. Patrick Hoy, chief of the governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, says the state's roadways will be congested and especially dangerous at night.
Unfortunately, we've been averaging between 4 and 5 fatalities the past few years over July 4th, and unfortunately those tend to be alcohol impaired also. So with that holiday right around the corner, you know, it's imperative for people to slow down, buckle up, and certainly not drink and drive or text and drive.
A special traffic enforcement program, or STEP, is already underway, and that runs through Wednesday.
So you will see extra law enforcement officers out during those days, and they'll be looking for those violations that are leading to crashes.
Data from the Iowa Department of Transportation shows over the last 5 4th of July periods, 27 people died in traffic crashes across the state, and 14 of those involved alcohol. Governor Kim Reynolds signed more than 170 bills during and after the legislative session, and most of those laws took effect yesterday, the start of Iowa's new budget year. Among the changes is an extension to Iowa's Safe Haven Law, which allows newborn infants to be voluntarily surrendered for foster care placement. The law now applies to children as old as 30 days instead of 2 weeks. Another new law requires drivers approaching a stopped vehicle on the side of the road with flashing lights to always move over a lane. If that's not possible, drivers must slow down and be ready to stop. Additionally, a law change means that adults no longer need a permit to carry stun guns. They're still considered dangerous weapons, and stun guns that launch projectiles, though, are prohibited. Governor Kim Reynolds has announced the appointment of former Indian Hills Community College President Jim Lindenmeyer to fill a vacant seat on the Iowa Board of Regents. Lindenmeyer will serve an interim role to finish out the final year of a 6-year term for Subhash Sahai, who resigned last month. Lindenmeyer became IHCC's president in 2001, serving in that role for 12 years. Prior to that, he had served as the college's vice president of administration and human resources after serving as its continuing education coordinator beginning in 1980. Lindenmeyer was one of the more than 150 appointments to Iowa's boards and commissions that Reynolds had announced on Friday. All of those appointments are unpaid, and only a handful are subject to a Senate confirmation. And a Central Iowa farmer, our father that is, said he was inspired to organize a rally in support of immigrant families after seeing news on Father's Day of children separated from their parents who had recently crossed the U.S. border. About 125 people turned out Saturday for the rally in Marshalltown, organized by Steve Adelmond. Adelmond recalled turning on the news on June the 17th after spending the day with his 2 young children and seeing news of immigrant children being separated from parents and held in cage-like structures at the border. He says the images hit him in the heart and he cried. Adelmond, who says he identifies as a Democrat but sometimes votes Republican, says the country should be able to come together on the idea that kids shouldn't be taken from their parents. The rally was among hundreds across the U.S. urging the Trump administration to reunite families separated at the U.S.-Mexico border. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.